ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in 1 Corinthians, and we're in chapter 15. We trust you'll have your Bible open, and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
Now, when you realize that some people have a universalistic doctrine, you have to wonder, what does that mean, all men? Well, it's possible. It's effective for all. But it's only efficacious if you receive it. See, he talks a whole lot about people who are going to be cast into the everlasting darkness. They're going to experience everlasting destruction. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Revelation chapter 14 talks about being tormented with fire and brimstone forever and ever, having no rest day or night. I mean, we're talking about not annihilation. We're talking about everlasting destruction. Job chapter 27 talks about it. You need to realize there's a lot to be worried about if you're not saved. Verse 23 says, but every man in his own order, first fruits, then those afterwards that is coming. That's fun, isn't it? See how he threw that in there? You think, oh, pastor, always talking about the coming of Christ, and he's just all fixated, and that's his little hobby horse. No. It is all over the Bible. And I'm just preaching the Bible. And the Bible says, at his coming, the rest of us are getting out of here too. And so are the dead in Christ. That's what's going to happen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us that very clearly, and also we get a picture of it here in this chapter. The Bible says that first fruits were raised up, and then the harvest that is coming, he will take us out of here, and then the tribulation will unfold. And the Bible says in verse 24, then cometh the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God. Now, I'm not going to go into this deep area here because there's much I want to say about the resurrection. But the Bible says he's going to subdue his enemies in verse 25, and the last enemy he's going to subdue is death. Who are the earlier enemies? They're everybody who took their stand against God. Who are those people? The people who reject God. You see, the great unforgivable sin is not murder, adultery, abusive children, and things like that. The greatest sin that you can commit is to reject Jesus. He died for our sins, and we walk away as if it doesn't matter. And if we stand in that condition, we will be rightfully damned for eternity. For him to have paid that cost and to have taken that burden and to have gone that far and for us to say it's not for me is an insult beyond words. God takes that very personally. He gave his only begotten son because he loved you so much. The Bible says he died not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. It also says that some people deny the Lord that bought them. He paid for everybody. And so we need to realize there's enough there for everybody. And I'm not going to go into the doctrinal messages that are out there that get goofy, but this is what it says. It says he's going to put all of his enemies under his feet. You've got the tribulation. You've got the battle of Armageddon. Then you've got a 1,000-year reign. And at the end of the 1,000-year reign, you have that one last hurrah by the devil being released. And he's taken all of his enemies out. And now he's going to take the last enemy, which is to be destroyed in verse 26, which is death. The Bible says in verse 28, it says that God may be all in all. I want you to jump down in verse 34. His application is awake to righteousness, therefore, since all of this is true. You see, what happens when we understand the resurrection is that righteousness is what we want in our lives. Because the Bible says we need to awake to righteousness, verse 34, because some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. That's all in verse 34. You want to talk about whether there's a second coming and a kingdom? If you take that out, you have no hope. If you don't have a second coming and if you don't have a kingdom of God on this earth, we pray it, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you take that, set it aside and say, I can't know it, I can't believe it, maybe it means something ethereal and not real. I want you to know your hope just dwindled down in measure to what you just did with your hope. He gave you the hope that he's coming. He gave you the hope that there's going to be a kingdom. He gave you a hope you're going to rule and reign with him. And what does that do? That makes you want to be righteous. Because now you know you're an heir to the king. Most of us probably have seen the show Princess Diaries, girl with her hair all knotted up and everything. It's a Walt Disney show. And she finds she's a princess. And when she finds it out, she says, who, me? I'm just nobody, man. I can't even walk straight. And so they're giving her all these culture lessons or whatever, charm school and all that. See, you and I need to realize that we're kings and priests unto our God. And when we understand it, it ennobles our hearts. See, because again, your knowledge changes you. And the Bible says that how are the dead raised? So the first question was, somebody might be saying the dead are not raised. How can you say that? You've heard our preaching. Next he says, how are the dead raised? And he says, verse 37, you don't sow the body that you're going to reap. You take a grain of corn and you get a full stalk and ear, right? It's not the same thing that went in. Now, at the top, there's going to be some more grains, but basically, you're getting something bigger and better. So when God's Son died for us, He takes this mortal body, which is kind of pathetic as we go along, even more so, right? And so here we are. And we say, well, yeah, but really, I don't want to be raised up looking like this. Can I ask for improvement? I'd like a nice little lean sports car kind of body. Listen, you're going to have everything you absolutely need. In fact, I believe personally that we're going to glow so much you're not even going to see us in a very deliberate way. The Bible says when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they recognized they were naked. What were they not able to see they were naked before? Probably not. Because they were in the presence of God. Just like Moses coming down from the mountain, his face shone. They said, put your face away from us. It's freaking us out. That's in Hebrew. It's freaking us out. They actually asked him to come up that glory glow because they were so close to God, their face shone. When we get in the other side, we're going to glow. We're going to be lit. The Bible tells us that in Revelation chapter 20, 21, and 22. It talks about He lighteth us. So we're going to have this glory all over us. In fact, He talks about that. The Bible says that you're not going to sow the body you're going to get. He says the body you're going to get is different. He says you sow a grain of wheat and you're going to get something else out of there. He says in verse 39, all flesh are not the same. He says there's one kind of flesh of beasts, one kind of flesh of birds, one kind of flesh of fish, and then there's a flesh of men. Now, if you want to put a star by that verse, that answers the question about mammals. Who's the definer of your paradigm? If the world is, then they say, well, we're just like a whale that nurses its young and has hair on its body. That's a silly thing. We're all earthlings. We could say that, right? With the worms, I'm an earthling. The worm's an earthling. But that's silly. Just because there's something we have in common doesn't make it true that we are the same. He says there's four different things He's got here in front of us, and you can't really crossbreed them. You can't crossbreed a fish with a cow, you see. He says there's four types of flesh. He just says it offhandedly, and here we are in science today saying, well, the mammals, you know, they're monkeys and the primates, and you know, and I have learned that because I passed the test, and I know. And I'm like, you don't know nothing, okay? Let every man who thinks he knows him something, let him know he doesn't know anything as he ought. God gives us the paradigm, and the paradigm is the different kinds of flesh. So that's a good verse for your science, fellas. Verse 40 says there are celestial bodies and terrestrial. That's heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. And he says there's one glory of the sun. Verse 41, that's where we get to the glory thing. He says you're going to have glory. You are going to have glory. You see what he just did? He says, you got a problem with the resurrection? You're cutting your nose off to spite your face. First of all, you're going to have no motivation to live for Jesus. Why live for Him? You're going to just die. The only good thing is you might have a nice little time on earth, but when you die and wake up in hell, the Bible says they're going to stand in awe and perish because they didn't really take seriously what God was saying. But if we understand who we are, it'll change us. The Bible says your body is going to be changed. In verse 42, it says, so also the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. That's easy to see. You dig up a grave, or maybe a flood comes through and caskets are open. There's bodies, there's dust, there's bones. He says, you're sown in corruption because it's still decaying. And the Bible says, but it's raised in incorruption. You know what it means? It's never going to break down. Ha! I like that. Man, I get tired sometimes. It's weird. It's like tired in your bones, kind of tired. And you're like, wow, I don't want to go up the steps three times. You want to remember where you left something, you know? You go down the steps, you say, man, I got to figure this out while I'm down here because I don't want to go back up and have to come back down. Man, you get like that. When I was a kid, it's 2-3 steps at a time. I think I can take 3. I can do this. You keep doing it. Yeah, endless energy. But as you get older, it's not like that. The Bible says it is sown in natural body, verse 44. It's raised in spiritual body. In verse 43, it's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. Sown in weakness. It's raised in power. This is your body. Why? Because Jesus rose from the dead. He was the first fruits, and He promises you He's coming for a full harvest. You're going to go up one day if you know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, you're still going to get raised, but unto everlasting contempt. It's at the end of Daniel. It's in John chapter 5. There's a judgment of the just and the unjust, and hell is going to give up those that are in it. That's Hades. Hades is not the lake of fire. It is fiery, and it is painful. But while you're in that holding cell, which you might call jail as opposed to prison, you're raised up out of Hades, and you're standing before God. You're going to be judged on how deep you're going into the lake of fire. That's a biblical construct God puts there, and we don't have to wonder about it because He's awesome God. He told us everything we need to know. If you just read it, it starts making total sense. The Bible says in verse 47, it says the first man is of earth, earthy. I love this word. It shows up like four times in the New Testament, and three of them are right here. The word literally means dusty, dirty, soiled. You know, think about that. That's a lost man. He's earthy. He's got all kinds of nonsense on him. He's walking around with grave clothes and he doesn't even know it. The whole thing about zombies really is sort of a, you know, metaphor for lost people. They feed on other people's flesh. They want them to agree that what they're doing is right. They walk, but they're dead. The Bible says we're dead in trespasses. But then when you get saved, what happens? Wow, I'm alive. I got a new life. I've been born again. And I'll never be dead again. Ever. The Bible says the first man is of the earth, earthy. Now listen to this. And the second man is the Lord from heaven. And as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. In other words, the earthy people are soiled. But also, as is the heavenly, which is Jesus, so are they also that are heavenly. If I'm of heaven, my behavior should echo that. If I know I'm God's child, it should concern me when I fall down in front of somebody. I should be willing to go say, man, I'm sorry. Especially if they're lost. Why? Because those people are depending on me to get it right, and I won't. And sometimes God lets me fall down. So I will go say I'm sorry. So they'll know I'm not full of myself and holier than thou in my heart. Some of the better testimonies I've had with people have been because I've stumbled. I've had to say, man, I'm sorry. I got a little out of, you know, off the reservation there. The Bible says in verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Oh, praise God. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality, and then will be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, what I want you to realize is how he ends it in verse 58. Therefore, my beloved, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He says we need to be as the heavenly in our behavior. He says we need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because we're going home. We're kings and priests unto our God. And when you understand that the resurrection of Christ is that which gives us great grist for the mill of our hope, not just our faith, but our hope. Your faith should be full-bodied. You have to understand it. You're not for nothing. God's just not carrying you like the footprints in the sand thing because you're so weak. No, you need to engage with your theology, engage with your knowledge of who God is, and begin to really behave as if you understand you are an ambassador for heaven. You are epistles that are seen and read by other people. And when you do that, you're not doing it to be saved. You're doing it because you are saved. And because you understand that other people need to be saved. So it becomes a love issue. You love him, so you're doing what would make his heart thrilled. And you're doing what those people need you to do because you love them. Because they're the ones who are most to be pitied. They're the ones who are most miserable. We should need to show compassion. He says, I speak to your shame. Some people don't have the knowledge of Christ. He says, the reason is because you don't have this hope. Firmly nailed down. When you have it nailed down, you begin to care about other people. God's got your stuff, so you can take care of his. Beloved, listen. We are in a day where it's getting more and more hostile to the things of God. Some people won't put up with sound doctrine. They'll heap to themselves teachers. They like a little dab of do-you-know kind of Christianity. And they want the church to train up their kids. They don't train up their kids. They want the church to do it. The Bible says, no, you train up your child in the way he should go. The Bible says, you know, you talk about Jesus going out, going in, going down at night. You talk about him all the time because they're going to idolize you. The glory of a child is his father. See? So you understand. You and I have a mandate. But we also have all the resources of heaven. All powers given unto me in heaven and earth, Jesus said, after his resurrection. He says, go ye therefore and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've told you to do. Listen, you and I have our work cut out for us. If you ever feel like, you know, man, I wish I knew what I should do. He tells you, okay? You don't have to wonder what the will of God is. Present your body as a living sacrifice and just go out and do what you can. Because he will take and make it go further than you ever could. Would you bow with me for a moment? Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts. And I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. We hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.